Welcome to another eBizQ podcast.
Hello, this is eBizQ's Peter Schoaf, and today I have the pleasure of speaking with David Luckham, Emeritus Professor of Electrical Engineering at Stanford University and author of Event Processing for Business, Organizing the Real-Time Enterprise, which is published by Wiley. In this podcast, of course, we're going to discuss complex event processing. So first of all, David, thank you so much for joining me today.
Pleasure.
Now, here we are in 2012. Where exactly are we today with complex event processing?
Well, CEP, as it's known, complex event processing, is being used by many organizations in their business operations and also by government departments on a worldwide basis. I mean, companies all over the world are now employing CEP. And being applied in different kinds of commercial applications that process real-time event feeds. Quite often, CEP as a technology is under the hood, and you don't even see it at the user interface of these applications. But we'll describe some examples during our conversation. Stock trading is well known, but there are lots of others.
Indeed, and that's sort of what I've found. But now let's say a company really hasn't engaged with CEP. Why should they consider it now?
Well, that really depends on the company's business, exactly what sort of business they're in. But fact of life is that most businesses are becoming more and more dependent upon the internet and upon the use of available data in real time, or a phrase that I like to use is right now time. Key requirement here is processing the data as it arrives at the company. And so I would say that any company that has to make rapid responses right now to incoming events will eventually need an event processing capability that uses CEP. Now, one other thing I might say here is that when a company comes to that conclusion, probably by analyzing its business and also the competition, they will get into a build it or buy it discussion. And the company will then need to analyze what kinds of CEP processing are provided by the commercial products on the market and whether that capability will meet their needs.
Interesting. Now, obviously, there's quite a lot of events in an everyday business, some very important, some not important at all. What events would you say are most important then to the business's bottom line?
Well, again, that depends entirely upon the business. Sorting out the relevant from the irrelevant events is the first and most important aspect of event processing. I would say at the very least that a company has to pay attention to its own internal events. That is, if you don't know what your own company is doing in real time, then you're probably in trouble. For example, is the inventory department keeping up with the sales department? And questions like that. There are always also questions about the maintenance of company secrets, and the possibility that you may have spyware on your IT. So certainly a company needs to pay attention to its own internal events. Now, beyond that, there are gazillions of external events coming from every quarter of this planet and outer space, I might add. And that's basically the internet world that we now live in. And what events are actually important depends on a whole host of factors, but I'll say two things about importance of an event. The first is that the importance of an event as it happens depends upon what else is happening. And sometimes an event can lose importance or gain importance very quickly. It's not a constant attribute. And the other thing I would say is that business intelligence is all about sets of events and their timing, not necessarily about single events. And this is why event processing involving CEP is important because it enables a company to build capabilities that detect and process sets of events that it needs to know about.
Indeed, very important. Now, directing this to most of the BPM readers and listeners, how would you say CEP relates to BPM?
Well, BPM is sort of interesting. It's been an area of business operations for a long time. And what's happening, if you look at the business process management world, is that CEP is becoming an enabling technology in real-time business processes. Adopting BPM is not an easy undertaking for a company. It can go on for years as one figures out what processes one needs and where they should operate and how to prioritize them. And CEP plays a role in that underlying technology that drives BPM. When to trigger a process, how to prioritize, which processes to run, and so on. So you'll find CEP built into business processes more and more today.
Indeed. Now, what would you say are some of the biggest mistakes companies make with CEP?
Fact of the matter is most companies don't really use CEP. They buy CEP products that could help them, and they're sold them by the vendors. But they generally lack the experience and the technical staff to understand where the CEP capabilities could be best employed in their operations. Many times, they simply do not recognize where CEP is needed or could be used to advantage in their day-to-day operations.
Indeed. Now, which industries would you say are seeing the greatest benefit from event processing today?
Well, I suppose one would say financial services are right off the top because they were early adopters and big spenders. And there are some event processing vendors that specialize in the financial services market. But there are many aspects to consider. Actually, how you're going to use event processing. There are defensive uses to prevent losses versus positive uses to expand the business. And as everything becomes more of a right now business, it turns out that event processing is an essential technology within many industry sectors. I'll just mention a few. Financial services, we've already mentioned that. Include stock trading, banking, credit card processing, and so on. Then a second sector is the military sector, which is a very large user of event processing technology and everything from supply chain management to battlefield logistics. The security and fraud detection business, transportation, that includes airlines, trucking, railways, shipping, container shipping especially. Then you've got the energy sector, which goes everywhere from smart grids. I'm told there are over 100 smart grid projects worldwide at the moment, down to the retail end of the energy operation, where the utilities are selling smart meters to the household. And then, of course, the areas of government, homeland security, and intelligence. And here, of course, we might get into identity theft and so on. So there are many, many areas where industry is seeing benefit from event processing.
Yeah, pretty much everywhere where real time is important, and
right.
It'll be important. At some point, it's going to be important everywhere anyway.
Right.
So in reading your book, which is excellent, I came across a phrase you used saying a completely holistic event processing system. Can you explain a little bit more of that, and do people see that?
Certainly. Final chapter of the book deals with this. The rise of holistic event processing systems is a big question. Now, what happens, or what I think will happen with event processing, you can see this happening in some businesses, actually. There are cases of businesses like banks that are expanding their areas of operation into, say, the travel market and shipping. And what happens here is that the types of events that need to be processed expands. Instead of just dealing with, say, stock market events or customer account events, you're now dealing with travel events and weather events and demographics and so on. So holistic event processing refers to systems that process very large numbers of types of events. Now, this is different from the numbers of events themselves. You can have thousands of events per second being processed by a stock trader, and he's processing just one or two types of events, but thousands of them. But I'm looking now at systems that are not only processing lots of events, but lots of different types of events. And those systems I call holistic event processing systems. Now, what would be an example? Well, air traffic operations are becoming more unified. It's just a matter of pressure for this to happen. So if you look, say, at the North Atlantic, you've got unified air traffic operations on a very large scale between the US and Europe. And this involves guiding not only aircraft guidance, but all of the events that lead up to the scheduling of an aircraft. And so the number of different types of events is expanding. And if you look at the event processing system that's involved in unified air traffic operations across the Atlantic as a whole, it is processing a very large number of different types of events, and it's built up from lots of little systems, smaller systems. So there are a number of things that I would say about these kinds of event processing systems, which will, they're happening now, we'll recognize them, say, 10 years from now. And what I would say is that they're not planned. They're just happening in a chaotic evolutionary way. And they have to happen due to technical, political, and social forces. That's why they're going to happen. It's a matter of keeping costs down. It's a matter of being able to answer lots of different questions that require lots of different kinds of event inputs. Some examples, unified air traffic operations. In the medical field, pandemic watch systems. Can we recognize early emergence of a pandemic like bird flu? World environment monitoring. We're beginning to become conscious of the fact that the world's resources are very limited and that we're eating them up, and now monitoring the use of those resources on a large scale across the globe would be a holistic event processing system involving many different aspects. Global weather forecasting systems, government and military intelligence. And if you look at things like the traffic control systems for large metropolitan areas, they're becoming more automated. There's a very good possibility that in the future we won't drive our cars in heavy traffic situations. They'll drive themselves and they'll communicate with the cars around them and with the traffic system. And that will involve an event processing system that is holistic, is built out of lots of smaller event processing systems, and its purpose is to get the driver to work or wherever he's going in a reasonable amount of time. And then the whole area of managing our information itself will probably cause the evolution of holistic event processing systems for, say, preventing identity theft, and protecting the individual, but probably also for spying on the individual as well. There are always two sides to these kinds of technologies. But I would say that one can see the precursors of holistic event processing systems developing now as we speak. I'm sure that the listeners can think of others that they can see happening. Certainly in the area of weather forecasting and environment monitoring, one can see that happening in the government systems that we have now. Basically, the inescapable truth is that we've become an event processing society and there's no going back, so holistic systems will be in our future.
Excellent information, David. This is EbizQ's Peter Schoaf speaking with David Luckham, professor at Stanford University and author of the book Event Processing for Business, Organizing the Real-Time Enterprise, published by Wiley. Thank you so much for joining me today, David.
Okay, Peter, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
This has been an EbizQ podcast.